Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. How many of you know that if you never had a problem, you wouldn't know that God could solve? Open with me the Word of God this morning to the book of 2 Chronicles. And I want to share some things with you that God has laid upon my heart. I'll try to be as brief as possible, but I also want to preach what God has put upon our heart. Amen? Now, this scripture has come at a time when the children of Israel had just been through 400 years of silence from God, and they're in the promised land. They had rebuilt the temple, or built the temple, and had dedicated that temple to the Lord. And the Bible teaches back in the first part of 2 Chronicles that when they made a sacrifice to God, that God came down and consumed the sacrifice and dwelt in the temple. But that doesn't mean that everything's going to be great and everything's going to be hunky-dory all the time. We find out right quick that even in the Christian life, we have mountains that we can be on, and God blesses us and honors us, and we can also go through some valleys. Amen? If it weren't for the valleys, we would never grow. But I want to talk to you this morning about something in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We're going to read a few verses of Scripture, begin reading with verse 15. I would like to read the whole chapter, but for the sake of time, I won't do that. And I want to preach to you on this thought that we find in verse 15. And we know that God is able to do all things. How many of you believe that with all your heart? Amen? I want to say one thing this morning before we start. God is doing a great work at our church, and I thank Him for that. And we must be willing, as God's children, to be submissive to His Spirit and let God do the work. Amen? There are situations where people probably will not agree with what goes on here, but that's all right. That doesn't make them any less Christian than us. That's a matter of preference and a matter of choice. So I share with you this morning in the spirit of love that if people choose not to agree with what God's doing here and choose to go at other places, then that's fine. Amen. We're still going to let God do what He wants to do. If we begin to try to take this out of God's hands and do it our way to please people, it won't be long before we'll be completely out of God's will, and it won't work anyway. So we're going to let God do it. Amen? And that's enough said. In verse 15, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and he said, "Hearken, you all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeriel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." And I want you to know this morning that God, is always with us. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of Kohathites and the children of Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth to the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper." Our Father, as we come to you this morning, I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you for every jot and every tittle. I understand that the Word was inspired by the Holy Spirit and given to holy men as they were moved on by the Holy Spirit. And it's written, Father, for our admonition, for our counsel, for our teaching, and for our learning. And I pray this morning, as we look into your blessed word, that you would anoint these lips and use me for your glory and for your praise. And we'll honor you and praise you for all that's accomplished in this service. For it's in the name of Jesus, your only begotten Son, that we ask it. Amen and amen. Now in verse 17, we find a sentence, and I like this. It says, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. If I were to have a thought this morning that I wanted to preach to you on and share with you about, it would be this. Your victory is in your praise. You shall not need to fight in this battle, for your victory is in your praise. If you go back to the first verse of this chapter, you'll read that the Moabites and the Amorites, all their allies, the Edomites, had declared war on Judah. And they had decided to join together into a multitude, a huge army, and they had decided to go down to Judah and to fight against Judah and actually to conquer Judah. Now, God's children are in the land of promise. This is the land that God promised them. This is the land that flows with milk and honey, and they're there. And all of a sudden, they're at war, and they don't really know why they're at war, but they understand that they are, because word had reached Jerusalem that a mighty army was marching toward them, and Jehoshaphat, the ruler of that day, the king of that day, was, to say the least, somewhat shaken with the news. You know, you get that kind of news, and you're ruling a group of people, and all of a sudden you get word that you're about to be attacked. There's a great army coming to attack you. So in verses 6 through 13 of this chapter, what Jehoshaphat does is probably what you and I ought to do, and our reaction ought to be every time. He begins to lead the children of Israel, the children of Judah, in prayer and fasting. He did a panic. Although the news was disturbing, although the news wasn't the report that he wanted, how many of you know that the first report is not always the final report? Amen? So instead of panicking, instead of fleeing, instead of running, he reacted in this way. He began to lead the children in prayer, in public prayer, and in fasting. And in verses 14 and 15, the Bible said, the Spirit of the Lord comes upon a man by the name of Jahaziel, and he gives Jehoshaphat a word through the gift of prophecy. He gives a supernatural utterance from the Lord to Jehoshaphat in answer to his prayer. Let's just look at verses 14 and 15 for a minute. Then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mathanas, a Levite, the son of Aspa, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken, you all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but it's God's. So in response to the prayer and the fasting, in response to the word that the army was coming, in response to the fasting and prayer that the children did, God gives a word. Amen. He sends a word through one of the priests, one of the prophets, and he speaks that word to the people. And that word is, don't worry about the enemy. Don't worry about this great multitude. Don't worry about this army, because you're not going to have to fight them. God's going to take care of them. Amen. That's what we need to hear, folks. We need to know that in our own strength and in our own ability, there's nothing that we can do about our circumstances. When you end up with a bad report, whether it be physical and something to do with your health, or it's financial, or whatever it is, I assure you, you can sit awake nights and you can worry and you can wring your hand, but when it's all said and done, there's nothing you can do. You're going to have to leave it in bigger hands than yours. So the word to the people was this. It came from God. It was a word that was spoken because the Spirit of God moved. And it says, don't worry about it. Trust God. The battle's not yours. The battle is the Lord's. I'm here to tell you today, folks, if you come to that point where you realize you can't fight the battle and you put it in God's hands and let Him fight it, then all you have to do is praise God, and you come to that point where you don't have to fight in this battle. Your victory is in your praise. When we finally come to the point where we can put it in God's hands and trust Him with it, then we don't have to worry about it anymore. But we keep trying to take it back and trying to work it out. It's fascinating to me that we say, now, and I'm not saying what I'm saying this morning or preaching what I'm preaching to hurt anybody's feelings, but these are just facts. We say that we believe God can heal, yet we get the sniffles or we get a cold, and instead of coming to the very place where we meet God and worship God and praise God and get healed, we will stay home because we feel bad. Now, do we believe God can heal or don't we? If we believe God can heal, we ought to be here getting healed. Hello. You get the message, amen? We have got to put our faith and our trust in God, or we've got to put it in something else or someone else or somebody else or some theory that somebody else has. So, two times, God speaks through the Spirit of God to the congregation. You'll find it in verse 15 and then again in verse 17. In verse 15, he says, be not be afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle's not yours, it's God's. And in verse 17, he says, you shall not need to fight in this battle. That's good news. For Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah, that is great news, because the word has come that there's a mighty army that's coming against them. And they probably couldn't have defeated that army in their own strength. So the news is, you don't have to be afraid. God's going to fight for you. You don't even need to fight in this battle. But what he did tell them in verse 17 was, position yourselves and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I wonder how many of us have found ourselves in an unpredictable position. A position where we really didn't know what to do. We didn't know what to say. We didn't know where to run or where to turn. But then we heard a word. And we got a word from the Lord. And we felt hope in that word. And we felt strength when we got that word. And we felt power because we knew God was about to turn our situation around. That's where Jehoshaphat was. He had a situation where he had gotten word that an army was coming. They were going to be invaded. But then he began to pray and seek God's face. And God sent him a word. And that word was, don't worry. It's going to be all right. You don't even need to fight this battle. God's going to fight it for you. That's good news. We're going to discover that their deliverance and their blessing was a result of their prayer and their praise. And that's what it's going to be for us. Amen? We need to learn to praise God not only when we're on the mountain, not only when everything is going great, and not only when the job is good and the money is good and the bills are paid and everybody's healthy, but we need to learn to praise God in the valley when we get the bad report and things are not going so good. We need to just lift our hands and determine in our heart that, God, we're grasping this promise because You made this promise, and we're going to stand on it and we're going to praise You anyway. As I studied for this message, the Holy Spirit began to reveal something to me, and I never really considered a lot of it before, but I've always wondered and asked the Lord several times why certain people that seem to be sincere Christians seem to be trusting the Lord, but they don't receive from God like they ought to. Have you ever noticed that happens? So I asked God, and I've asked God over the years, and The Holy Spirit began to speak to my heart. And let's look at verses 7 and 8 of our text of chapter 20 there for a minute. Because I want to share with you what God revealed to me. And this is part of Jehoshaphat's prayer that he prayed when he heard the army was coming. And the Bible said that Jehoshaphat is praying here, and he says, "Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever, and they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary there in therein for thy name?" And I begin to look at that, and I begin to think about that. And Jehoshaphat actually reminded God of his word and his promise to Abraham. That's how he prayed. He said, "You remember the promise that you made to Abraham?" He reminded him of it. There's two things here that I want to look at this morning and share with you. First, God made covenant with Abraham. That was a blood covenant years and years and years before this incident happened. Jehoshaphat brought it up in his prayer to God. He said, "God, you remember that you promised Abraham and his descendants and his seed this land. It is the promised land. You brought us into it. You drove out the inhabitants that were here and you gave it to us." God's promise to Abraham was an eternal promise. It was a blood covenant. It was not to be broken. God's covenant with Abraham could not be broken. Jehoshaphat reminded God of that. God told Jeremiah, he said, "I'll watch over my word to perform it." God teaches us to put him in remembrance of his word. How many of you know that? So when we pray, when we have a bad report, when something has gone wrong in our life, what we need to do, instead of panicking and reacting in the wrong direction, we need to find a promise in the Word of God that God made. How many of you know the Bible said God is not a man that he can lie? God doesn't lie. If he promised it, he'll fulfill it. So if we find a promise that covers the bad report or the situation we're in, we can bring that promise to God, remind him of his word. Amen. Refresh his memory. "God, you said it. I'm standing on it. And it doesn't matter what happens. The first report is not the final report. I'm trusting you." See, that's what Jehoshaphat did. He got the report. The army was coming. They were going to invade them. But he called a public fasting and prayer, and he got on his face before God, and he said, "God, you remember you promised Abraham this land, and Abraham's seed this land, and you brought us into it. It's ours. You drove out the inhabitants before." Jehoshaphat was reminding God of his promise. Amen. And it worked. You see, Jehoshaphat listened, and he followed the instructions he had received from God through the man of God. Let me say that again. Jehoshaphat listened to and followed the instructions he had received from God through the man of God. Now, I want to throw something in here. Judy and I were talking about this on the way over from home this morning. Not everybody that gets up in the pulpit with the Word of God is a man of God.
Amen.
I don't know if you've noticed this, and I want to share it with you this morning for a minute. When a man gets up, I don't care what his name is or who he is, and begins to tell you that in order for you to get an answer to your prayers from God, that you need to commit X amount of dollars to a ministry, even if you don't have it, you commit to it and God will supply it. If you'll notice about three things here. Number one, usually what he's talking about is you giving him money you don't have. He's not talking about you supporting God. He's talking about you sending him money you don't have. That's the first problem I have with that. And the second one is, when Jesus saw the money changers in the temple, he made him a cat of nine tails and chased them out of the temple and overthrew their tables. You know what they were doing? Let me tell you what they were doing. They were selling turtle doves. See, the Jewish people had to sacrifice in order to pray. And it was more convenient to go buy one of their turtle doves in the church to sacrifice than it was to bring your own. They were selling prayers, is what they were doing. Folk, I'm here to tell you, when a man of God tells you that something comes from God to you, it usually don't cost you nothing. Amen? Hello? When a man starts putting the priority of your answer to prayer into the category of you giving him something you don't have, I'm here to say upon the authority of the Word of God, that man is out of fellowship with God. I don't care what his name is or how big his ministry is. When he starts putting the emphasis on paying him to get you an answer to prayer, there's a problem. And I'll leave it there. Amen? Look with me to the book of Romans, chapter 10. You see, the preacher is a required part of this. The man of God gave Jehoshaphat a word from the Lord because he was anointed of the Spirit of the Lord to do that. He didn't say, "Now, Jehoshaphat, if you paid your tithes and you support my ministry and buy my tapes and my books, then I'll tell you what God..." He didn't say that. He just gave Jehoshaphat the word that the Lord gave him. Romans chapter 10. Let's begin reading at verse 8. "But what saith this? What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." Now here's where I'm going. "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all who call upon his name. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord..." Are you a whosoever? You are. Amen. "Shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not heard or not believed? And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" So a preacher is part of the ministry of God. The man of God is part of the ministry of God. But man has a tendency to start tooting his own horn and beating his own drum sometimes. And he thinks that because God called him, because God anointed him, suddenly he becomes more important than anybody else. But I'm here to tell you that whosoever is God's plan. Amen? A preacher is part of it, but he's not all of it. "And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what?" There's nowhere in the Word of God where it says, "I've got to send you $1,000 to get an answer for prayer." I'll tell you that this morning. And I don't even have to reference it out. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Just a couple of verses. Be patient with me this morning. Amen? Because we got a lot to cover and a short time to cover it in. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21. "For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to what? Save them that believe." So the man of God is part of the plan of God. But sometimes the man of God gets to be a legend in his own mind. Amen? Verse 18, back up about two verses. "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. The question facing Jehoshaphat, the question facing us this morning, is whose report do you believe? That's what this is all about. Matthew 15:19, Mark 7:7. Jesus said, "In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men." In the Word of God is where the power of God is found. The Bible said the Word of God is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. For the power of God is in the Word of God. It's not in the tongue of any preacher, whoever he is, unless that preacher is anointed and giving you a word that comes from God. And I believe that what I am giving you this morning is a word that comes from God. And I'm here telling you today that your victory is in your praise. God has already paid for it. God has already made provision for it. And when we claim that and begin to praise Him for the answer, our victory is in our praise. Again, in our text, Jehoshaphat had reminded God of His promise to Abraham. But there's something you should know about Abraham. When the promise was given to Abraham, his name wasn't Abraham. It was Abram. And in Genesis, I believe it's chapter 12, you'll find this. When God chose Abram, you know what He told him to do? He said, "Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house." Now God chose Abraham. His name at that time was Abram, and He said, "Abram, here's what I've chosen you. I'm going to make a covenant with you, but here's what you need to do. You get out from your country, you get out from your kindred, and you get out from your father's house." And as I read what Jehoshaphat reminded the Lord of back in 2 Chronicles, the one thing that he said and the one phrase that he mentioned was father's house. So I did a little research on that. And I found out that the phrase father's house or house of your fathers is used in Scripture 82 times. And I found out that almost invariably it's used to refer to the influence of the father's house upon your life. And it suddenly hit me, one of the reasons that we don't receive from God the things that we need to receive from Him, even when we try to stand on His promises, is because we try to mix the influence of our father's house with the faith that God wants us to have in His Word, and we try to mix the two together, and the influence of your father's house will tear you down. How many of you know that? You say, "Well, I don't have an influence of my father's house." Oh, when you got married, and you and that sweet little thing that you married came together, you remember that? Oh, how sweet it was. How joyous it was. Until the influences of your father's house and the influences of her father's house started meeting in the middle. And at your father's house, it was customary to sit down to supper every night and to have prayer. But in her father's house, it wasn't. So she wants to go eat by the TV. And you want to sit around. You think that you didn't have some influence in your father's house? Because the trouble just started, didn't it? It was a policy at your father's house to go to bed every night at 9 o'clock. Not in hers. They sat up and watched the Late Show with Johnny Carson every night. You think there wasn't some conflict because of your father's house and her father? Folk, you start out as soon as you can remember. These little children that we had up here earlier are already feeling the influence of their father's house. Now, somewhere along the line, when you got saved, you come under another influence, and that influence was God. But we still try to use all those influences from our father's house. Amen? Your father's house influences your marriage, your work ethic, your business dealings, our worship, and what we believe. It really does. Because what you saw your father do, what are you going to do? You're going to duplicate that until you learn differently. I read a story this week, and I think Brother Tapley or somebody sent me this about a shoebox. And this elderly lady was to the point of death, and she motioned her husband over to her deathbed, and she told him up on the shelf was a shoebox, and she wanted him to get it. So he goes and gets this old tattered shoebox, and he brings it to her bedside, and she told him, open it, and he opened it. And in the shoebox was two crocheted little dolls, little crochet things, and $95,000 in cash. And he said, whoa, honey, what is this all about? She said, well, she said, when we first got married, God told me that if I ever got angry with you or mad at you, I should crochet a doll. And he looked in, there's two dolls. Made him excited. He said, wow. He said, just two times in our marriage of over all these years, she's been angry enough at me to crochet a doll. He said, now where did all this money come from? She said, oh, that was what I made selling the dolls. Folk, we are influenced by what our fathers did and our fathers. $95,000, that's a lot of dolls. And usually it ends up causing conflict in our marriage, does it not? If you think about it, every problem that you had with your bride usually emanated from what you believed and what she believed somewhere along the line. Think about that for a minute. Jehoshaphat said, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. What we need to do is get away from the influence of our father's house. God told Abraham, he said, get you out from among your kindred, get you out from your country, get you out from your father's house. When you come to God, we need to be, one of the things we need to be certain of is that we get rid of the father's house influence in our life and begin to trust God. Once we trust God and begin to believe the report that God gave us and not what our father said, then we become established. Isn't that what the prophecy was? That we'd become established? Believe his prophets, and so shall you prosper. That's the two things God wants us to do. Paul said, I know in whom I believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able. Isn't that what he said? He's told Timothy that in 1 Timothy, or 2 Timothy, I think. All the promises, according to the Word of God, 2 Corinthians 1 and 20, all the promises of God are yea and amen. That means God promised it, it's going to happen. Amen. If you can believe it and you can trust in it. So once we get hold of the promises of God for our situation, the only thing left for us to do is to praise him. Note verses 20 and 21 of our text. Let's go back there and read those again. Let's do 21 and 22. And when he had consulted with the people, he adopted singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness, and they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord said, listen, here's what God told them to do. He said, the army's coming. I know it's coming. But you don't have to fight this battle. I'm going to fight it for you. So God says, go out and meet them. And then God gives Jehoshaphat a word. He said, praise the Lord. All you have to do is praise the Lord. Your victory's in your praise. So Jehoshaphat obeys, and he puts the praisers out in front of the army, and they go out to meet this mighty army that's coming at them. And the Bible said in verse 22, and when they began to sing to and to praise, what? When they began to what? The Lord set ambushments against the children of Amnon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Let me tell you what happened. God brought a spirit of confusion into that mighty army that was walking against his people, and they rose up and they began to slay each other and began to kill each other. And all God's people did was praise. All they did was honor God and glorify God. They had held on to the promise of God. Jehoshaphat brought the promise of God to him and said, this is your promise. This is your children. This is the land you gave us. And then he began to praise God. And what happened? A mighty victory. That army began, and God did it. Jehoshaphat didn't do it. the people of Judah didn't do it. God did it. Amen. God caused such confusion that the enemy troops turned on each other. Note verse 24. Read that. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. I'm here to tell you today that my Bible teaches me that God, when the thief is found out, God will make him restore sevenfold what he took. Amen? Folk, when we get hold of the fact that we get our Father's house influence out of our life and begin to believe the Word of God for what it says, and then praise God and apply it to our situation, God can turn it around, and our victory is in our praise. That's where it's at. Amen? So God caused such confusion in that army that they just up and slew each other. But the good part of it is, if you go on in this chapter, you find out that it took them 3 days to gather all the spoil. I mean, they found jewels, they found money. When they went out where God had caused these people to kill each other, they found enough spoil and enough praise, enough jewelry and enough stuff because they had praised God and honored God. God supplied everything the enemy had ever stolen from them. Amen? My question is, do you need a miracle today? If you do, get ready to praise Him. Your victory is in your praise. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Bird, if you will. As we stand to our feet, everybody that can, and I understand some of you can't, I want you to do this for me. As Bert comes to the piano to sing, I want you to take just a moment and look over your left shoulder. Look at the back of the church over your left shoulder. Look at it. All right, now turn around and do it over your right shoulder. Okay? Now turn to your neighbor and say this. That's the last time I'm going to look back. I don't even have to fight in this battle. My victory is going to be in my praise. How many of you believe that? How many of you believe that you can take the promises of God, which are yea and amen, stand on them and begin to praise God? I don't care if your light bill's due. I don't care if the lights have been cut off. Maybe you're in financial trouble. Maybe you've got a report from the doctor. But today, this should be the last time you look back. Just claim God's promises and begin to praise Him for the results, because it's coming. He was able to deliver Jehoshaphat and the children of Judah because there was a mighty army coming against them. God says, I'll take care of it. You don't even need to fight in this battle. You just need to trust me. So if you have a need this morning, you don't even have to fight, because your victory is in your praise. You need to know this. In the realm of the Spirit, through our praise, that's how God comes to minister to us. God inhabits the praises of His people. David said, I'll enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. David learned the way to get God into your life and into your situation is praise Him and glorify Him and honor Him. We need to learn to praise God in the bad times. Our victory is in our praise. When it looks like there's no way out, when it looks like you're going down, when it looks like the enemy is coming in like a flood, if you'll begin to praise, God will raise up a standard against him. Turn the situation around. Amen. And God will deliver you. And everything that the enemy has stolen from you, God will restore. But the key to all this is getting out from the influence of your Father's house. Getting out from the influence of other things around you and begin to claim the promises of God that apply to your situation. And then just praise Him. Make up your mind that you're going to praise Him no matter what. You may have to come wounded. You may have to come weeping. You may have to come crying. But God says, come and praise me. Come and honor me. And if you'll praise me, I'll turn your situation around. Your victory today is in your praise. When you learn to praise God, no matter what, When you're on the mountain, praise Him. When you're in the valley, praise Him. When you've got a bad report, praise Him. When you're broke and looking at no hope, no way, you can see no way out of this. Get the promises of God in your heart and begin to praise Him. Your victory is in your praise. Let's praise the Lord this morning. Bert, go ahead.
I was a little idol. I was a sinner too. I heard a voice from heaven say, there is work to do.
Yes.
I
can you praise Him? Serve Him till I die. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord.
Glory. I raise my flag in battle. My staff is in my hand. I'm taking it to
the yeah, glory.
In the glory.
Worship the Lord.
In the distant land I trod. I sinner come to God. Now I'm on the battlefield for my Lord.
The Lord.